You ought to give them praise right now if that's your prayer. If you came for a word, if you came to give them praise, if you came not just to play church, but to have a demonstration of the moving of the Spirit of God, you ought to give them praise right now. Clap your hands all over this house. Praise God. Praise God. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Such an honor to be standing in front of you. Let's get into the word of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 5. If you would turn to 1 Kings chapter 5. I believe the Holy Ghost is going to help us tonight. I believe that God is giving me a word. I believe that God's going to move before this thing is said and done. And I depend on God for everything that I do. I depend on God for tonight. And I think that God has given me a word. Does anybody come with the expectation that God is going to speak to you tonight? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. 1 Kings chapter 5, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, and Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurring. Behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. Let's go back up to verse 3. Let's read that one more time. Bible says, thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurring. For just a moment, I want to preach just for a moment on this topic. The danger of rest. The danger of rest. If you would, put your Bibles down. Lift up your voice. Everybody pray right now. Mighty God, we love you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your provision, God. I ask that you would continue to move in this service. Anoint my lips of clay, oh God. Help me, oh God, to speak as the oracles of God. Help me to find the words, oh God. Help me to speak as you would have me speak, oh God. We won't hesitate to give you the praise. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Jesus, you're my strength and my redeemer. Let everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. Give God one more hand clap of praise as you're seated. David was one of the greatest men that we've ever had the privilege of reading about. We're able to glean from his writings in the book of the Psalms. We're able to see all the places where he was able to do the things that God had called him to do. We understand that for all intents and purposes and by many standards that David was an unlikely king, oftentimes overlooked, as Stephen mentioned on Sunday night. We find David most times on the backside of a hill writing songs to the God that he served while tending his sheep. The shepherd boy with no potential, with no true purpose, whose ceiling was at best growing old as a shepherd tethered to an unnoticed mountainside. But the king in the eyes of the Lord, a man after God's own heart, a man whose true potential surpassed many great men to ever walk the face of the earth. That's why you've got to be careful how you judge people. You've got to be careful not to use your carnal mind to try to force people into boxes.
You've got to be careful not to look at somebody because of the suit that they have on and declare that they have no potential in the kingdom of God. You've got to be careful not to judge too quickly. You've got to remember what God brought you from when you were messed up and you didn't know left from right. You didn't know up from down, but God saw fit to save your soul. You've got to be careful today. You've got to be careful not to judge too quickly when somebody comes in from off of the street. You've got to be careful, church, not to peg them as somebody less than in the kingdom of God. We've got to be careful, New Life, that when somebody walks into the house of the Lord, that we're able to see through the eyes that God sees through, and we're able to see the vast potential resting on the inside of every individual. We've got to be careful today, church. You don't know who's walking through that door. You don't know who's going to sit on the seat next to you. You don't know who's going to be able to go to Sunday school with your children. You don't know the potential that's on the inside of them. You don't know the purpose and the destiny that they have. I know they may be on the backside of a hill, but God sees them as a king, and God sees them as great. And we've got to start viewing people through the eyes of the Lord. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. And I sum it up as, when you come into the kingdom of God, you step away from everything that you used to be, and you pledge allegiance to the kingdom of God. That's why we got to be careful not to judge somebody because of the color of their skin. That's why we got to be careful not to put them in a box that everybody that's out there that looks like them come from. You've got to understand that everybody's got value, and that everybody's got purpose, and everybody's got something to do in the kingdom of God. Don't be so quick to judge them by the outward appearance. Don't be so quick to judge them by the way that they talk. Don't be so quick to judge them by what suit they got on. And conversely, don't be so quick to judge if they got on a nice suit. You have no clue what they can become in the kingdom of God. We just have to be the church right now, the hospital that is the church. Well, people come in and their lives are changed. Do you remember where you were? Do you remember where you were when God found you? Do you remember the wreck that you were? Drives me nuts talking to people in the house of God. But somewhere they got so untethered from their past and so untethered from who they used to be that they forgot the shape that they were in before God found them. And they look down their nose at somebody that walks into the house of God that don't got no sense, that don't understand left from right. But I'm telling somebody, they were in the same position right now that you were in 15 years ago. But God found you, and destiny found you, and purpose found you. We can't get so church that we forget how bad it is in the world. So when the drug addict walks into church, we understand that God can do anything. Does anybody believe that today? Do you believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think? Do you know that God is able to change lives? Do you know that God is able to save souls? Praise God, praise God. Church system is so much different than the world's. The church system is whosoever will come and drink from the cup that we drink from. As a matter of fact, come and drink from the same fountain that we drink out of. You can come in. It's whosoever will. Sir, ma'am, come into the house of the Lord. There's peace, there's joy, there's righteousness for your soul. Does anybody believe that in the house of the Lord? You ought to clap your hands if you remember where you were when God found you. So David was God's man. David solidified himself as a man of war. It was David who would slay Goliath. It was David who would slay the lion. It was David who would slay the bear. It was David who would slay the 200 men for his first wife, Michal, even though he was instructed to only slay 100. Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. David, the mighty warrior, wreaking havoc on the enemy, fighting battle after battle for the kingdom of God, victorious in battle, mighty in power. David was a man of God. David was a man after God's own heart. But David was a man of war. David was to protect the people of the living God. David's job, David was not about to let anybody come against the God that he served and come against the people of the God that he served. Throughout his life, he was able to do many things. But there was something special that he wanted to do. David wanted to build the house of God. The Bible says that it was on his mind. It consumed his thoughts. He thought about building the house of the Lord. He wanted a place for the Ark of the Covenant to rest. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Now it came to pass as David sat in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, "Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains." Then Nathan said unto David, "Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee." And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from tabernacle to tabernacle, wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel who I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedars? Now therefore thus shall say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also I will ordain a place for my people, and I will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning, and since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. Moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee an house, and it shall come to pass when thy days be expired that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will rise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever, and I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever. And his throne shall be established forevermore." So God breaks the news to David. David, you're not going to build the house of the Lord, but your son. You see, David must serve the public with a sword, and another must do it with a lion and a plummet. 1 Chronicles 22 and 5 is the first time we learn that Solomon would succeed David and build the temple. In a private conversation, David told Solomon his own personal history of how bloodshed and wars disqualified him from being the temple builder. And by contrast, Solomon would enjoy rest and peace. David encouraged Solomon not to delay in the completing of the project. David emphasized that after all the wars that he had fought, that there would now be a period of rest. The time was right for the leaders to help Solomon build a permanent sanctuary. The questions of who would be the next king and who would build the temple are synonymous. David called another meeting of all the princes of Israel. Stay with me. In 2 Chronicles 28, this last speech from David disclosed to the people what he had already told Solomon. And David knew that he was only king because God had willed it to be, and because it was that same God that would will it to be Solomon as the king. David turned to Solomon and exhorted him to a single-minded devotion to the Lord. He reminded Solomon that nothing else would do. Solomon must demonstrate his divine calling by keeping God's commandments and his judgments. Solomon, the son of David, the third king, sat on the throne young and untried, but God's man. He would pray for wisdom, and he would pray for understanding, and God would grant it to him. He would pray that he would be able to go in and go out among the people, and God granted it to him. His job was to build the house of God. Back at our text at 1 Kings chapter 5, thou knowest that David, my father, could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him at every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord God has given me rest on every side, so that there is no adversary, neither evil occurring. And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto to David my father, saying, thy son, whom I would set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. And with an abundance of rest and peace, Solomon builds the house of the Lord with wisdom, with great vision, with understanding. We don't have time to talk about all of the majesty and the beauty of what was built, the gold, the silver, the cedar, the chambers, the stones, the oracle. Solomon, without a doubt, built a site to see. It took 7 years to build the temple, and Solomon dedicated the temple unto God. And the glory of the Lord filled the place that they were sitting as they prayed unto God. And God responds in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going somewhere. Just stay rock with me for a little while. Verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. And if I shut up up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou will walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee any man to be ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and I will make it to be a proverb and a byword among the nations. Then Solomon builds cities. Then, as we know it, Solomon would fall. Solomon would fall by many strange women. He would love many strange women, which would lead him to idolatry. 700 wives, 300 concubines. And his wives turned his heart from God. And the Bible says in 1 Kings 11 and 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. And God judged Solomon for his fall. 1 Kings 11 and 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord had commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And the Bible says that God stirs up adversaries for Solomon. 1 Kings 3 and 3 says, Solomon loved God, but on the converse, 1 Kings 11 and 1 says, Solomon loved many strange women. These loves could not coexist and maintain the command of the Lord. The Bible says in the book that is written by Solomon himself in Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time of hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Solomon's name literally means a time of peace. We understand rest has its place. Rest is necessary. The Holy Ghost is rest. We all know that. Matthew 11 and 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Holy Ghost is many things. Number one of the things that it is salvific, which means that you can be saved as you receive the Holy Ghost. The next function of the Holy Ghost is that it's vocational. It gives us power to do and power to go. It doesn't mean just to sit on the experience, because where God gives rest, he expects work. It's the Great Commission. Matthew 28 and 19, go ye therefore. It's Luke 19 and 13, occupy till I come. But the danger of rest is that rest can morph into idleness. We've heard it said that the devil finds work for idle hands. Idle, nothing to do, no place to be, no task at hand. I watch my kids sometimes, and I watch them as they enter into a room with nothing to do. And they're frantically looking across the room, trying to find something that they can get into. Somebody say amen. I was at the store yesterday, and I was at the post office, and I came outside. And it was about 10:30, and there was men, three or four men, standing on the sidewalk with nothing to do, just idle, just looking for something to get into, with no purpose, with no future, with no hope, with nothing to do, just idle. Rest is not a bad thing. Vacation is good after a hard time to work. Resting on a couch is good after you've been at work all day. We've got to have it to survive. It's in the plan of God. There's nothing wrong with rest. I want to make sure I reiterate that this tonight to let you know I'm not preaching against rest, but I'm telling you that if rest is mishandled, then rest can turn into idleness. We've got to be careful, church, not to get idle. We've got to be careful what we do with our hands. We've got to be careful that we always find ourselves busy about the things of God. Somebody say amen in the house. God. Brother Sutton talked about this the other day, but he talked about Sodom. And I remember Stephen preaching about Sodom. Ezekiel chapter 16 and 49. Oftentimes people would say that Sodom was destroyed because of homosexuality or because of perversion or because of all of these other things. But Ezekiel 16, 49 says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Idleness, inactivity, indolence. A place where you don't have anything to do, so you find something unproductive to put your hands to. It's COVID-19 season. This is a place where idleness can sink in. This is a place where we have some modicum of rest. This is a place where God and the enemy separates the men from the boys. This is a place where it's okay to miss church. This is a place where sometimes we got to find something for our hands to do. We've got to find something to get busy about in the kingdom of God. We've got to find something to put our hands to. We can't be asleep at the wheel in this season, church. We've got to wake up and do the things of God. In this season, What have we built? What have we produced? How have we grown? Have we gained ground or have we lost ground? Have we been to a place? Have we been to a place with God where we've grown our relationship with Him to another level in this season? Or have we let idleness creep into our homes? Have we let idleness creep into our lives? Have we let idleness be the ruler of the day? I'm preaching to somebody right now in the Holy Ghost, and I'm telling you, you've got to get busy about the things of God. God's got work for you to do, but you've got to find something for your hands to do. It says Sodom were idle. Had a lot of time on their hands. There was a city to win in Sodom. And Lot, he had time to win the city. But idleness crept in. And God destroyed the city because of idleness. What have we done, church? And I'm not preaching to everybody in the house. I understand that. And I understand that this has been a very fruitful season for the church of the living God. And as long as the church is moving on, there are people that are going to be in prayer. There are people that are going to be fasting. There are people that are going to be in the book. There are people that are going to be dealing with the things of God. But I'm preaching to those of us who lose track of the time because we have idle hands. Who don't have to wake up and have somewhere to be. Who all you've got is time on your hands. Time is a wonderful gift from God. But time misused can be destruction. Time misused can be destruction. We've got time on our hands, church. In this season, I love what I'm seeing with the media team. How we're tidying up things and we're getting ready for revival. I'm telling you, we're not just going to be judged by the wars that we fight. But we're going to be judged by the peaceful times too. It's easy to live this with a class to teach. It's easy to be sharp when you've got to sing your solo. It's easy when we've got a time of war on our hands to be engaged in the battle. But what are you going to do when COVID hits and you're at home, just you and peace? How are you going to be productive? Are you going to be building things for the next time we have revival? Are you going to be building things for when that sinner comes in from out of the street? Are we going to have people and all hands on deck when Brother Cliff is full to his neck in Bible studies and we need Bible study teachers? What are we going to do? What are you going to do when you don't have the mic in your hand? What are you going to do? Are you in a state of preparation when you're not preaching? Are you in a state of preparation when you're not singing frontline? Are you in a state of preparation when you're not teaching your Sunday school class? Idle. Time on our hands. What are we doing with the time? And I'm preaching to myself more than I'm preaching to anybody in this house. So don't get offended by the word of God. I'm just a messenger. And this is not a message of condemnation, but this is an olive branch to say, come on up a little bit higher. God's got more for this church. God's got more for your life. God wants to do something great in you. Everybody in this place should know my spirit and know I'm not about tearing somebody down. But there are opportunities right now that we can have. I watch Raymond all the time and he's spending time in his studio and he's writing songs to God. And I watch him and I'm like, man, just slow down a little bit. You're doing a little too much. He's like, man, I got to put this music out because I want to reach the world. I want to do something with the time. God's going to judge us with the time that he's given us. God's watching us. God's tracking us. God's trying to see. I know you can fight for me when it's time to fight. And on Sunday night, when the music hits, I know we can shout and dance. But what are you going to do on Monday in a time of peace? What are you going to do on Tuesday when the pastor's not right behind you watching if you're praising and worshiping or not? What are you going to do when it's not your letter to be at the house of God? Are you going to be doing other things while the preaching of the word is going on? Or are you going to dig in and say, I know we're trying to separate and trying to get back from this COVID season, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I get smitten by pastor. He's not here, so I'm going to talk about him. If you don't get convicted by watching this man work, can you get that for me? It's been COVID, right? You know, everything must stop. Bible studies have to stop. We have to stop praying. We have to stop fasting. We need to get our equilibrium and figure out what's happening with our family and figure all this stuff out. I asked Brother Sutton on a Sunday night. I said, we're trying to get the media stuff together so that we can put out content for the Bible studies that you're teaching every morning. Give me your schedule. Jesus. He said, well, I typically teach 13 to 15 Bible studies a week. There was not one of these uploaded before COVID hit. There is 138, is that right? 138 Bible studies on your website from your man of God. And I'm convicted. I'm looking at my hands and I'm looking at what I could do with my youth and with my strength and with my fervency. And I'm wondering, how can I push the envelope? How can I push this thing like Pastor does? How can I get to the next level? He understands that idle hands work for the devil. And so I've got to find something for my hands to do. Brother Sutton, you can't go to nobody's house and teach Bible studies. You just need to chill out. You just need to go and hang out with your family every day. You just need to take off. 138 Bible studies. I don't think I taught 138 Bible studies this year. I'm convicted today. I don't feel condemnation, but I feel energized and inspiration that if he can do it, I can do it. That if Stephen can do it, I can do it. That if Dawson can do it, I can do it. You ought to come to the house of the Lord and not be intimidated by those that are around you and not get jealous because somebody's singing. But you've got to get an understanding that if God can do it through them, God can do it through you. Somebody say amen. He's working. He's producing in the house of God. He's finding something for his hands to do. He's innovative. He's thinking of ways to further this thing. He's thinking, I know that I can't let time go by. I'm going to be held accountable for my time. I've been thinking about that this whole season. What is God going to say? Is God going to be pleased with me? Is God going to say, you use the time well? Plagues my mind. I think about it all the time. I'm constantly thinking when somebody cancels one of my Bible studies, God, am I doing enough? God, do I need to go and find another one? God, I got to find you. I've got to know how to do this thing right. My God. Idleness, games, Instagram, Facebook. We've got time, church. We've got time on our hands. God, fasting this week from social media. We got a problem on our hands because we program ourselves by what we constantly do. And I open up my phone and there's a button for social media and I don't have social media on my phone. Fasting social media. Subconsciously, I'm going to click on the button for Instagram. And God spoke to me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It might not be Instagram for you. It might be something else. Idle. Mindless hours, mindless time, trying to find something unproductive for our hands to do. I'm telling somebody in this house, we're going to be judged by the wars that we fight, no doubt. But we're also going to be judged by the rest that's on every side of us. Solomon fell off because he got idle. Solomon got done building. You read it. Solomon built the temple. Solomon built his house. Took 20 years to build the temple and his house. Then Solomon built cities. And then Solomon starts falling off with strange women because he got idle, because he didn't have a task at hand. Solomon was sharp as long as he was building the temple. Solomon was on top of his game as long as he was in the game. But what happens when you're sitting on the sidelines? And what happens when you're sitting on the bench and it's not your time to sing and it's not your time to preach? What are you going to do? My God. We got to start watching what we do. We got to start paying attention because time is slipping us by. Time is passing us by. And time is continuing to go. And we're never going to be able to get the time back. I want to encourage somebody today. Use the time wisely. I know we may be in a different season right now. I know it may seem like we've got some peace and some rest. But times of peace, it should also be a time of preparation for war. And a time of war should also be a time of preparation for times of peace. You've got to understand today that maybe you're not warring today. And maybe you're not fighting on the front lines today. But I got to be preparing. And I've got to be working. And I've got to be digging this thing out. Because there's going to come a day when you're not prepared and there's going to be a war to fight. And you haven't prepared the weapons. That's what Stephen was talking about Sunday night. Did you know the United States military didn't have an active all-the-time military until after World War II? World War I, we came and we dusted off the muskets and we were unprepared for war. We won. America bad. Hard to beat, even in times of being unprepared. But we can't live like that. This is a great church, but we can't fly by the seat of our pants. We've got to be world class. We've got to be top notch. We've got to have people on a pew, young people that can teach Bible studies and young people that can lead people to the kingdom of God. You've got to understand it may not be your day to lead out front. It may not be your time, but you've got to be preparing. Because in times of peace, there's always going to come a time of war. And I want to trot something out that I'm confident in. And I know God wants to trot something out that he's confident in. And so he's looking at his church and he's wondering who's prepared, who's ready, who's doing the things that they're supposed to be doing in times of peace. In COVID season, when sometimes we come to church, sometimes we not. That's not an indictment. We're trying to use an abundance of caution. And I stand behind everything the pastor has done. But when it's your time to be sitting out at home, what are you doing with your hands? What are you doing with your time? God has called this church for a day just like today. But we've got to stand and we've got to take on the responsibility of the times. And we've got to know that God's going to do great things in this city because we're ready and because we're prepared. We had moments in this church. We had moments and they passed us by. But we're raising up some people right now, under the sound of my voice, sitting in this building right now, that knows what I'm talking about and that's got a hold of this a long time ago and that's been preparing all throughout COVID season, and you're ready to go. When you're tapped, you're ready to go. You don't have to warm up because you've already been warmed up. If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. Stay ready. I remember, Pastor, before I ever preached, I was teaching Bible studies in his office. And I walked into his office, and he was walking out to teach Wednesday night service to preach. And he said, "How about you go out there, and how about I'll come in here?" And I was froze. I said, "No, you don't want that." And he said, "Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out." Always have a word on your tongue. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And I had never preached, and I had never knew that this was even in my future. But That was something the Holy Ghost was doing in that moment, because at that point, every service I was taking notes, and I started taking this thing a little more seriously, because I knew that this is a moment of peace right now, but there's going to come a day when you've got a war to fight, and you better be ready, and you better be prayed up, and you better be fasted up. I'm telling you, the enemy is waiting for opportunities like this to steal your soul. He's creeping in right on the wings of COVID. He's lurking, and he's waiting to see who is being idle with their time. He's watching you. He's tracking you. He knows where you go. He knows what you do. He knows the moments that you're at your weakest. And the devil is so smart that he's going to come in right at that time, in a time of COVID season, when all hands aren't on deck, when it's just a weird time that we're just trying to get through. I'm telling you, the devil's trying to creep in and steal some people from this church. But you've got to get a made-up mind tonight. You've got to get an attitude about this thing. You're going to find me in the house of God. You're going to find me on the front lines. You're going to find me ready for the battle. You're going to find me. It's a different mindset. It's a different attitude. It's a mindset of, I got to come to the house of God fired up, because somebody's coming that needs to hear the truth. And somebody's coming that needs to be saved. And somebody's coming that needs to be, to see an example of praise and of worship. And so I got to bring my best every service. I got to come into the house of the Lord understanding that somebody's coming today, that there's a revival coming to this city today. But God won't trust us with a revival if we can't handle it. We got to have Bible study teachers on deck. We got to have people that's willing to do all the dirty work in the kingdom of God. We got to have all of these things ready. So when the revival come in, when they flood the doors, we're not spazzed out because everybody's coming in at one time. But God has told our church multiple times that he's going to double this church in one revival. But I want to know, is there an apostolic in the house of the Lord today that's going to be ready to receive the baby today? That's going to be ready to receive what's coming in the house? That's going to be ready to teach? That's going to be ready to preach? That's going to be ready to sing in the house of the Lord? My God. Just want us to be strong, church. I want us to be right. I want us to be able to handle what God has called us to handle. Homosexuality, fornication, adultery. Where does it come from? David's fall with Bathsheba, which would produce Solomon, was a moment of weakness in times of rest and in times of retreat. When he should have been out to battle, he was at the house hanging out, and rest turned to idleness, and he found himself in a place that he shouldn't be. Samson with Delilah, he had his head in the lap of Delilah. Idleness, nothing to do with his time. When it was time to war, Samson was a warrior. But in times of peace, Samson didn't prepare well. Got to understand, the truth of the matter is that there is a war to fight, and that war is the war with yourself. You've got to understand, there's a battle that you've got to fight every single day, and it's a battle with your flesh to wake it up and say, we're going to serve God. We're going to walk in the house of the Lord. As for me and my house. Bible says that Solomon didn't have any adversary or evil occurrence. He had rest on every side. You know who Solomon's biggest adversary was? Solomon. His biggest adversary was himself. He said it this way. Can you get Ecclesiastes 2, 4 through 11? Wherefore I pray, chapter 2, verse 4. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made pools of water to water with therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and woman singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He said, I did all of these things. I built houses, I built vineyards, I did all these things, but at the end of the day, it's all vanity. It was all about me. It was all about what I can get next. It was all about enjoying the fruits of my labor. And you should. But the danger of rest is that rest can morph into idleness. The conclusion of the whole matter is this: fear God and keep his commandments. This was the only thing that God asked him. He came to him before he built the temple by David. He came to him in the middle of building the temple, and he told him this. He said, Solomon, wonderful job, but I need you just to keep my commandments and walk in my ways. He came to him afterwards, and he sanctified the temple, and he said, great work, but keep my commandments and walk in my ways. I'm telling somebody in this place, you've done some great works. You've done some great things in the kingdom of God. But this thing is every single day until the day that we leave this earth. We've got to hold up the principles and the word of God. We've got to hold up the plan of God. We've got to hold up the commandments of God and the judgments of God. We can't get idle with our time because we'll fall into sin. We can't get idle with our energy. We've got to understand that these hands were made to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've got to get about doing that today, church. If we learned anything from David, I said this already. Sam, if you want to come. If we learned anything from David, we learned that a time of war should also be a time of preparation for a time of peace. And a time of peace should also be a time of preparation for a time of war. David spent his time in times of battle, and David spent his time in times of preparation for the temple. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 22 that David gathered men, and he gathered all the gold, and he gathered all the silver, and he set up all the floor plans and everything for the temple, so that when it was Solomon's turn, David handed him the plan. David handed him the contacts. He said, you're going to need gold, but I've already got that set up, Solomon. I've been working. You're going to need silver, but I've already talked to the guys that's going to give you silver. David was a man of war, but David understood that there's going to come a time of peace when we've got to build a temple. And I may not be the one that's building it, but I'm going to make preparation for those that come behind me. Stand all over this house right now. I want to tell somebody that revival is coming, and we will be judged with how we handle the time of preparation. This too shall pass. It's not just a statement of hard times, but it's also a statement and a conversation of a time of peace. I want to tell you that there is a war coming. There is a revival coming. But God is asking the question today, will we be ready? Will we be found doing the things of God when we don't have a particular task at hand? Will you be found in your home following the commandments and the judgments of God? In times of peace, are you going to hold up the principles of the Word of God? Or are we going to let idleness creep in and steal away all the time that God has blessed us with? If I'm talking to you in this house, you ought to just come on down to the front. Let's go ahead and go to God in prayer. I believe that God is working on individuals. And if you're doing work right now, God's calling you to another level. God's calling us higher tonight. God's calling us to be everything that He's called us to be. But we've got to say yes to His will. We've got to say yes to His word. We've got to say yes to His plan. Let's sit and pray all over this church right now. We love you, Jesus. Church, press on in right now. Press on into those prayers. No spectators right now. Everybody praying to God right now. Lift up your voice all over this house. Another level. God's calling you to get busy with the things of God right now. Cry out to Him right now. Tell Him yes right now. Tell Him you'll do whatever He asks of you right now.
Yeah. Now, there is a, can I just speak plainly to you? Can we just talk plain? There is a tendency when you hear preaching like you just heard, there is a tendency to, in your flesh, in your will, to bristle a little bit. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You feel a little bit, your flesh starts to bristle just a little bit. You feel a little bit confronted. The Apostle Paul said, I thank God that when you heard the word of God preached, you regarded it not as the words of man, but as it is indeed the word of God. Now, what we heard tonight was both in doctrine and in application, the word of God. A word general, a word specific, a word applicable to us as a people. And what I kept seeing while Brother Germain was preaching, and the Bible says a prophet is not without honor save in his own country, but I don't believe that's true here. I believe we just heard from God, and I believe that we heard prophetically from God. And what I kept seeing while he was preaching was people, I know the season's strange. We've all felt the strangeness of the season. There's nothing in terms of church work, there's nothing more strange than showing up at church with two or three people and preaching and exhorting as though the house was full of people. That's strange business. So it's been a strange season. But what I saw tonight while he was preaching, I just saw people sitting. Maybe you're not in your suit. Maybe you're in some pajama pants and a t-shirt, and you're sitting on your couch, and you've got your file, and you're sharpening the mattox. I saw people. Ashton has swords. He likes knives and swords and stuff. And I saw those tonight while he was preaching, and I saw people just, I know it's a time of peace, but there's an anticipation. There's an excitement and an expectation that while we're sitting at home, we're sharpening. My dad has, for a number of years, gotten up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh my. But when he is preparing for Bible studies and to teach the Word of God, he gets up. That's his natural, his body's alarm clock. He gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you'll find him there sitting at the table in the quiet time of the early morning with a cup of coffee. How many of you like it early in the morning? You like it? You like early mornings? How many of you like late nights? Praise God. Or late at night, but you got your cup of tea and you've got the lamp light going and you're flipping the pages of the Bible. You're anticipating the rising of the sun. You're anticipating the conflict that's coming. What I saw tonight, Brother Germain, I did not feel condemnation. I feel an expectation in my spirit that there are people that God is, what he is doing is God is orienting us. He's getting our attention. And he's saying, listen, during this season of time, this sequestration, it's time to get your sword out and sharpen your sword. It's time to get your prayer life out. And I'm telling you, God is calling us tonight to begin to file away at the prayer. God is calling us to get in the Word. I'm telling you, if you're a Sunday school teacher, you may not be teaching a lesson right now. It's time to get in the Word of God and say, God, I'm going to study right now during this season in anticipation that some bus kid in the next 3 to 6 months is coming in to my Sunday school class. And when they come in, I'm going to be the anointed vessel of God that's going to bring a word that destroys a yoke. Ah, do you feel that in your spirit tonight? It's time for us to prepare ourselves to be an anointed and prophetic people, sharp, a tool, a weapon in the hand of Almighty God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for the word of God tonight. Praise God. I am encouraged. I am inspired. I feel faith in this place. I feel like God is getting us ready to do something spectacular. And it's going to be in your family and in your life and in your community and on your job. Praise God. God, listen, God is blessing businesses right now. I've had people come to me and tell me that they've got money coming into their life and business coming into their life they've never experienced before. This is not a season of less than enough. This is a season for the people of God of more than enough. And I'm telling you, it's coming into your life. Prepare yourself. Get your home, your life, your mind, your spirit ready, because God is going to pour it out. Press down, shaking together, running over. People are going to start to give you stuff. Come on, I'm telling you, it's going to happen. God's getting us ready for a harvest in the city of Birmingham. Love somebody around you, strengthen them. God bless you. Go in the name of Jesus. Praise God.